BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk here on VCY America. So glad you could join us today as we're going to have a news roundup program. And certainly we've got a lot of information we would like to share with you today. Sandy's been compiling stories throughout the course of the week, just returning now from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And my, the attacks that are taking place against religious freedom across this land are rather staggering. And we're seeing, actually, them happening all over the world. We're going to delve into a number of stories here today on the program with a reminder the importance of each of us who know Christ as Savior to be salt and light in the time in which we live. Certainly, people need to know the gospel message, and it is God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance, and certainly we need to let our light shine for the Lord as well. Being salt, certainly standing up for the very biblical principles that that the Word of God stands for as well. By way of news here today, do want to point out, I'm sure your prayers are well welcome for a horrible situation that's taking place in Florida right now. This from USA Today, almost 160 people are unaccounted for this morning. It's a day after this 12-story beachfront condo just north of Miami had collapsed, killing at least four individuals. The mayor has confirmed increase in missing and death toll at the news conference here this morning, and first responders still searching for signs of life. A wing of the residential building in Surfside, Florida, came down with a roar about 1:30 a.m. Thursday. On video footage captured from nearby, the center of the building appeared to fall first, with the section nearest the ocean teetering and coming down seconds later as a huge dust cloud swallowed the neighborhood. Fire rescue personnel and others have worked through the night in hopes of finding survivors, and I again mention that prayer is so critically important. From CBN News, Senate Republicans blocked the Democrats' massive election overhaul Tuesday with a filibuster. We reported this live Tuesday with Matt Staver. Both sides voted along party lines in the evenly divided Senate. It denied the 60 votes needed by Senate rules. Vice President Harris presided over this the chamber here as they were trying to get past the filibuster. It, by the way, this was the same procedure used by Democrats to block legislation during Donald Trump's presidency. The media is really blowing this thing up right now, but this is the same methods that were used by the Democrats during the Trump presidency. The vote leaves the Democrats with no clear path forward on the measure, even though President Biden declared the fight is far from over. Well, this is the bill known as H.R. 1, for the People Act, a voting rights bill. It would have completely overhauled federal voting laws, overhauling the laws of states all across the nation. Then here from CNSNews.com, according to a White House spokeswoman, Jen Psaki, the fight to relax the state pass voting rules is not over for President Biden. She said in our effort, the president's effort is to continue that fight. It doesn't stop at all. This will be a fight of his presidency. Psaki repeated that there is going to be more work done by the president, by the vice president, by the administration to expand access to voting rights. So what is one of their first steps? Well, that happened today. The Justice Department this morning filing a lawsuit against the state of Georgia to overturn the state-passed voting laws that they enacted. This is the Attorney General Merrick Garland announced it this morning. Just think, folks, he was nearly a Supreme Court justice. The action is the first major voting rights case the DOJ has filed under the Biden administration. And friends, what's interesting in emailing with Matt Staver this morning, this next voting rights thing, this compromise legislation, so to speak, is worse than the first, according to Matt Staver. And Lord willing, he'll be joining us next week, Thursday, here on Crosstalk to detail more about this John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and we'll be breaking down that issue as well. So it is a temporary victory for those who preserve the integrity of voting, but the attacks certainly are not going to let up. So we go to FoxNews.com. The Vice President, Kamala Harris, arrived in Texas this morning, this long-awaited border visit. She snapped at a reporter from who asked the question why it took her so long to come to the border. It comes after she's been hammered by Republicans and Democrats alike over her failure to visit the border. She instead went to Mexico and Guatemala, unveiling initiatives to what she said end root causes like violence and poverty and climate disruption in Central America. Well, as she arrived in El Paso, she was asked by Fox News' Peter Ducey why right now was the time to make her first trip to the border. She said, "It's not my first trip. I've been to the border many times," she snapped back, apparently referring to visits that she made as a senator of the United States. Well, the other issue is that she's going to El Paso, went to El Paso, I should say, rather than to the hotter spots, the Rio Grande Valley area, as they see twice as many people who have attempted crossings in that region. And it's interesting to note that she's not visiting the migrant detention facility housing unaccompanied children at Fort Bliss. The Health and Human Services Department operated system center is under scrutiny amid reports that conditions are unacceptable. White House officials and people close to Harris have said the scheduling is not related to a visit next week by Trump or political pressure by opponents. I find that very interesting because day after day, week after week, month after month, she refused to go to the border. Wasn't it just last week? Former President Trump said, "Okay, I am going to the border. I'm going to do that. I'm going to join the governor of Texas." I accepted his invitation to be there next week. I believe it's June the 30th. And all of a sudden, after President Trump announced he would go to the border, guess what? Vice President Kamala Harris announced she would be going to the border. Saying that the timing is what makes sense for both the vice president's schedule, but also for the partners on the ground. Interesting comment there by Sanders. The Border Patrol chief who supported Donald Trump, guess what? He is forced out, according to the Associated Press and the story. The chief of the U.S. Border Patrol forced out of his job Wednesday after less than 2 years in a position that lies in the crosshairs of polarizing political debate. Rodney Scott wrote to agents that he will be reassigned, saying he'll continue working hard to support you over the next several weeks to ensure a smooth transition. But he is one who supported the Trump border wall. He is out. We understand that at any moment we're going to be hearing the sentencing of Derek Chauvin, the former Minneapolis police officer convicted of murdering George Floyd. The hearing was to get underway at 1:30 Central Time here this afternoon, and we will find out what will be happening there. Earlier, there was motions to dismiss this and have a new trial, and the judge put that aside, did not grant that motion. And likely soon, perhaps even during the course of this program, there will be information coming forth on that as the situation going on in the courtroom as we speak. From OneNewsNow.com, President Biden announced yesterday that we have a deal, signaling a bipartisan agreement on a $953 billion infrastructure plan. The president made a surprise appearance in front of the cameras with members of the group of senators, Republicans and Democrats, after an agreement was reached yesterday. Details of the deal kind of scarce to start, but the pared-down plan, $559 billion in new spending, has rare bipartisan backing and could open the door to the president's more sweeping $4 trillion proposals later on. The president said not everyone got what they wanted and that other White House priorities would be done separately in a congressional budget process known as, here's a danger, folks, reconciliation. You see, they need 60 votes to pass this, but then they are going to have a reconciliation bill that's going to put in all the other pet projects. Matter of fact, the president is facing a threat from Democrats to kill this infrastructure deal. WND.com says this $1.2 trillion bipartisan legislation includes more than $550 billion in new spending towards roads, bridges, waterways, and other projects. Now, that's the kind of thing that you think of when they talk about infrastructure. However, it omits other key Democratic items that have nothing to do with infrastructure. Guess what? Things like climate change, child care provisions. And by having these things removed, progressives are being frustrated. Liberals are being frustrated by this, who have said that they are blowing their chance to enact sweeping, long-sought policy goals. What does that have to do with infrastructure? As a solution, Democrats are preparing a multi-trillion-dollar reconciliation package that includes their central priorities and requires only a simple majority to pass. That's 50 plus one tie-breaking vote by the vice president, and have conditioned their support for the bipartisan bill on a unified Democratic support of their own legislation. Okay, we will vote for your compromised version on this. However, you must promise your vote on the reconciliation package. Matter of fact, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has signed on to this reconciliation effort during her weekly press conference yesterday, saying she would not bring this legislation to the floor, though, until the Senate passed both this package and the reconciliation bill. So all these other things dealing with putting in the Green New Deal, the child care issues, daycares, etc., all of that's going to be swept into this under the guise of reconciliation if they can pass this on a joint compromise here for this infrastructure plan. Chuck Schumer met with Democrats on the Budget Committee last week to begin drafting this reconciliation bill and endorsed a Medicare expansion, which is a top priority for Bernie Sanders, as part of it. So this is going to be a bill, this reconciliation bill, folks, that'll make the hair on the back of your neck stand up straight. A New York Post reporting that the White House Tuesday conceded that the U.S. will not reach President Biden's goal of getting 70% of American adults to receive at least one COVID-19 shot by the 4th of July. Jeff Zients, who is the response coordinator for the president, blamed not being on track to hit the July 4th target on the lagging vaccination rates among adults 18 to 26, saying the administration has more work to do with this demographic. I guess, yeah, they've got to get more programs, you know, joints for jabs and free alcohol here, free concert ticket there, free ticket here to this sporting event. Zients insisted that the vaccination campaign succeeded beyond our highest expectations. We set 70% of adults as our aspirational target and have met or exceeded it for most of the adult population, he said. National Review, interesting story here, saying that the Chinese Foreign Ministry argues that the Wuhan Institute of Virology deserves to win the Nobel Prize for Medicine. Amazing, folks. Late last week, the Chinese Academy of Sciences nominated the Wuhan Institute for its Outstanding Science and Technology Achievement Prize. Chinese state-run media explained that the award is mainly given to individuals or research groups who have made or demonstrated significant achievements in the past 5 years. China's foreign ministry spokesman stressed at Thursday's press conference that scientists working at this institute should be awarded the Nobel Prize in Medicine rather than being blamed for being the first to discover the gene sequence of the novel coronavirus. Well, I find it very interesting that Hillary Clinton had warned previous, and I believe I've gotten one of my stories here today, but some years ago had warned about the bioweapons coming out of this lab. Truly, truly troubling indeed. Matter of fact, Google officials are admitting censoring the COVID lab leak theory as well. Troubling news, but folks, we'll come back with some more information here following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did man come from the chimpanzee?
Chris, according to evolution, chimps and man came from a hypothetical ape-like common ancestor, the so-called missing link. Recently, an evolutionist claimed he found clues that the common ancestor of chimps and man walked upright. Therefore, the chimps who live in trees had ancestors which walked upright on the ground. Was evolution from the tree down or from the ground up? Chris, I don't think either ever happened, but you can see the lengths to which evolution must go to salvage their theory and try to accommodate new evidence. Chris, the evidence doesn't support evolution at all. Apes and men were created as is back in Genesis. There have been minor variations in both, but no evolution.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You know, I mean, to me, it's unbelievable that they would want to give, the thought has even come to give this Wuhan lab the Nobel Peace Prize. And I found the story here from WND.com. When she was Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton warned in a cable to French officials that research at this Wuhan Institute of Virology could lead to a biological weapons proliferation concern. The cable was obtained by WikiLeaks, was addressed to all embassies and member nations ahead of a plenary session in Paris of the Australian group that was in September of 2009. The International Export Control Forum, organized to prevent the spread of chemical and biological weapons, members included European Union, nations, India, Japan, and South Korea, but China not a member of that. And here she was back in 2009 warning that this Wuhan lab could make a bioweapon. What do we do? Nominate them for a Nobel Peace Prize. Very interesting indeed, the matters that are going on. By the way, Google censoring searches for information about the lab leak theory as well. The story from the conservativedailynews.com tells us that the World Health Organization is predicting that vulnerable people will need yearly COVID-19 vaccine boosters and the everyday population will need shots every 2 years, according to an internal document that Reuters reported yesterday. The predictions clash with comments made during a Centers for Disease Control and Prevention meeting Wednesday, in which the CDC said there was no evidence yet to back up the need for yearly boosters. So conflict between the CDC and the World Health Organization, I just kind of makes me wonder who's going to get censored in this one. From Breitbart, according to a report, ESPN has informed its employees that they must be fully vaccinated to work assignments outside network headquarters. The cable sports network said in an email sent an email to its employees detailing its vaccine policy, including in part, quote, as of August 1, 2021, we are requiring that all remote personnel be fully vaccinated in order to be assigned to games and remote events. We ask that fully vaccinated individuals complete a third-party crew member attestation form confirming their vaccination status so that we can comply with our partners' various vaccination and testing protocols and safety and efficiently operate our business. So ESPN requiring all its employees to get a vaccination to work their games. And speaking of games, from FoxNews.com, Buffalo Bills wide receiver Cole Beasley took a strong stance against the NFL and the NFL Players Association over the league's updated COVID-19 protocols, saying he would rather retire than get vaccinated. He said, I don't play for money anymore. My family's been taken care of. Find me if you want. My way of living and my values are more important to me than a dollar. He also put out on Twitter, I will be outside doing what I do. I'll be out in public. If you're scared of me, then steer clear or get vaccinated. I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living. He's taking issue with the NFL's new guidelines for training camp and preseason, which heavily restricts unvaccinated players while allowing those who have received the vaccine to return to, quote, normalcy. Conservative Daily News also telling us that Morgan Stanley announced it would not let unvaccinated employees or clients into its office buildings. The Financial Times reported Tuesday, starting July 12th, all employees, contingent workforce, clients, and visitors will be required to attest to being fully vaccinated to access Morgan Stanley buildings in New York and Westchester. Morgan Stanley Chief Human Resources Officer Mandel Crowley put out in a memo. From FoxNews.com, according to Fox 13 Memphis, students returning to Rhodes College campus who have not received the COVID-19 vaccine will be charged a $1,500 fee per semester. According to a release from the private college, unvaccinated students will be charged a health and safety fee to cover the costs of the mandatory COVID testing that they would have to undergo. Students are allowed the option of submitting requests for medical or religious exemptions. Meanwhile, the University of California system will now require all of its students and staff who want to return to the campus this fall to be, quote, vaccinated against COVID. They have to have the COVID shot. Find it interesting, though, that Rhodes College is looking to charge students a $1,500 per semester fee. Coming from the vaccinereaction.org, the European Union has announced that it will be officially launching a digital COVID-19 certificate for all EU citizens and residents, as well as for specific categories of travelers by July 1st of 2021. It's the EU Digital COVID Certificate. It's a mobile app that provides information such as the digital proof of a person's COVID-19 vaccination record, recent negative COVID-19 test results, or a certification that they've previously been clinically diagnosed and recovered from COVID-19. The certificate displays personal information like the traveler's name, date of birth, date of issue. The certificate also will have a unique QR code that pulls up documentation or linked reporting portals from a hospital laboratory, a test center, or other place. As of right now, there are 12 countries in the EU that are using the COVID-19 certificate in what they call a warm-up month. These include Austria, Bulgaria, Croatia, Chechnya, Denmark, Estonia, Germany, Greece, Latvia, Lithuania, Poland, and also Spain. LifeSiteNews.com tells us, the situation is going to Canada as well. The top health official for the Canadian province of British Columbia confirmed that the government is working in concert with federal authorities for the creation of a vaccine passport to be used for international travel. British Columbia Provincial Health Officer Dr. Bonnie Henry told reporters, "So yes, we're working with the federal government about how they can develop a Canadian passport that is recognized internationally that links in a confidential way to the information that we have in the same way that you would have your passport." Henry said it's the most important, that it is the most important one's personal health information is protected, adding the province already has an immunization registry where everybody's doses are in there. Folks, you know where this is headed, don't you? You know where this is headed. Yeah, we're told there is going to be a time when there is going to be a mark that is going to be given, in which one is going to be mandated to have this. They will not be able to buy. They'll not be able to sell. They likely will not be able to go into sporting events and other venues as well. I see all of this as just being a dress rehearsal for that which is to come. Let's get on to another issue today. WesternJournal.com, BMX freestyle rider and transgender Olympic alternate Chelsea Wolfe has come under criticism for her Facebook post last year, stating that the athlete wanted to win at the Olympic Games. Why? In order to burn a U.S. flag on the podium. Now, that Facebook post has now been deleted. It's from March 25th of 2020. In which it was said, "My goal is to win the Olympics so I can burn a U.S. flag on the podium. That is what they focus on during a pandemic, hurting trans children." It's according to a Fox News report. The report follows another recent announcement regarding a transgender athlete who qualified for the 2020 Summer Olympic Games. Laurel Hubbard of New Zealand, a man who identifies as a female, will compete in the Tokyo Summer Games as the first sanctioned transgender Olympian. Hubbard is eligible for the Summer Games despite having competed against other men up until 2013 under Olympic rules enacted then in 2015 that allow men to compete as women if their testosterone levels are sufficiently low. And so here we have the first transgender, but another one who wants to earn a medal so they have the opportunity to burn a U.S. flag. What a platform that would provide for them, would it not? Well, I find it very interesting that what was a hearing yesterday that took place. This is Mary Miller, Illinois Republican, challenged Cardona, who is the education secretary, about transgender students. Let me go to this audio clip. It's really, really telling.
Your department recently released this resource for students and families called Confronting Anti-LGBTQI+ Harassment in Schools. This document gives an example of harassment, which is a teacher telling students that there are only two genders, boys and girls. Before we start penalizing teachers for stating a genetic and biological fact about genders, can you please clarify for the committee how many genders there are?"
So I know what you're asking, but I'm going to get to the root of what you're asking. I feel very strongly that as educators, it's our responsibility to protect all students.
You used as an example of harassment a teacher who stated There are only two genders, male and female. That's a genetic and biological fact. That is an example you under your leadership that you are putting out to people. How many genders are there?
How would you respond to a student who is non-binary in your classroom?
But how many genders are there? Will you please state?
I won't be answering your question. You can continue the line of questioning.
Okay, well, this resource also says that preventing a male student from joining the sports team, see, can you pick out the male? The male student from joining a sports team designated for females constitutes harassment under Title IX. Mr. Secretary, can you please confirm that the department's interpretation of Title IX requires schools to allow transgender girls, in other words, biological males who claim to identify as female but have significant advantages in size and strength, to compete on female-only sports teams?
Title IX protects all students against sex discrimination or gender identity. All students, no exceptions.
So you're saying your interpretation is going to force girls to play against larger, stronger biological males in sports?
I think you're missing the point here, where students need to feel welcome into our schools, and we need to create welcoming environments. And we recognize that sports and other extracurricular activities are opportunities for students to engage and build team building skills, set goals for themselves, and continue to thrive. I don't promote any type of discrimination toward any students, and Title IX reinforces that. Yeah,
but it is promoting it when you use as an example that it's harassment to not allow biological males to participate in female sports, which will be the end of women's athletics.
That is incorrect.
Secretary, those of us who remember seventh grade biology were taught that there were only two sexes in the human species. Does the department plan to investigate and then penalize teachers under Title IX who continue to teach the biological fact that there are two sexes?
If this is another example where it demonstrates a lack of confidence in our educators to be able to meet our students where they are and welcome them into school environments that are free of discrimination and harassment. Going back to my opening comments, when I heard from students at Harvey Milk School, they want schools that embrace them and welcome them and provide nurturing environments. That's what I'm going to stand behind 100%. Title IX reinforces that. And the students that I speak to that are in school today respect that and appreciate that, and they want that from their educators and their leaders. That's what they're going to get from me as Secretary of Education.
Isn't that? That's what they're going to get from their Secretary of Education. That's Miguel Cardona, as he was challenged yesterday by Representative Mary Miller out of Illinois. And he could not answer the question. Matter of fact, he refused to answer the question on two genders and felt in their new policies that they're putting out that those who would teach that there are only two genders, that is irresponsible education for children. It's outrageous, folks. This is the nation's top educator who would not say how many genders there are, does not recognize common biology, universal biology, that you are XX or XY. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5, or 5 copies for a donation of $18, 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
The top educator of our nation. His policies are what are coming down to schools across this nation. Criticizing those who would only hold to two genders as being male and female. A news roundup day here today on Crosstalk, and let's take a look at another story that came out this week as well. We understand Seattle, Washington, has this Capitol Hill Pride event that's going on, this annual festival celebrating the LGBTQ community. Well, Capitol Hill Pride's leaders say their goal is to create a welcoming environment for people from all walks of life in Seattle. So when they learned that an LGBT event was set to take place in the city's Jimi Hendrix Park, it's going to bar white people unless the white attendees pay reparations. Organizers of the black exclusive event coined Take Black Pride advertised that the white allies and accomplices are welcome to attend, but they will be charged a $10 to $50 reparations fee and given a wristband as proof of payment. The ad suggested that the funds raised will go towards subsidizing black and brown trans and queer members as well as performers at the parade. Let's get on to the Breitbart news service here as well. The Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. Hear that, folks? That Nellis Air Force Base in Nevada. Now, they are to train to protect our nation, to be on readiness, always ready. They just hosted its first ever drag queen show at one of its on-base dining and entertainment clubs, according to a base spokesperson. Nellis Air Force Base said in an email statement to Breitbart News, Nellis Air Base and the 99th Air Base Wing hosted its first-ever drag show Thursday, June 17th, at the Nellis Club. The event was sponsored by a private organization and provided an opportunity for attendees to learn more about the history and significance of drag performance art within the LGBT plus community. Ensuring our ranks reflect and are inclusive of the American people is essential to the morale, cohesion, and readiness of the military. Folks, that is just so outrageous. Listen to this statement once again. Ensuring our ranks reflect and are inclusive of the American people is essential to the morale, cohesion, and readiness of the military. Nellis Air Force Base is committed to providing and championing an environment that is characterized by equal opportunity, diversity, and inclusion. You know, I saw a comparison here just a couple weeks ago of the videos that are being put out by our nation's military talking about diversity and promoting, sexual perversion by means of what they're allowing to take place and how they are building upon that for the military compared to what Russia is putting out. They're tough promos for being part of the Russian military. What a contrast. What a contrast. LGBTQNation.com telling us that Veterans Affairs Secretary Dennis McDonnell has announced that the VA healthcare will soon cover gender confirmation surgery for transgender veterans. It was the announcement made in a speech at the Orlando Vet Center in Florida, where he emphasized that adding the coverage has, quote, very real physical health care impacts as well as significant mental health impacts. He said it was President Biden who ultimately made the choice to add this coverage. You're paying for it. Let's go to LifeSiteNews.com. A controversial bill which would punish those helping children with gender confusion or unwanted same-sex attraction with jail time up to 5 years passed third reading in Canada's House of Commons. Led by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, his government's bill C-6, often referred to as a conversion therapy ban, will now proceed to Canada's Senate for review. It passed 263 votes in favor, 63 votes against. The bill has support from a number of the leftist liberal organizations, but Canada's House of Commons bill criminalizing so-called conversion therapy. Jail time up to 5 years. And where is it? In the UK, where there's an argument being made that even praying for somebody to come out of homosexuality can be held, they can be held liable for that as well? I mean, that's the idea that's being pushed right now. Townhall.com tells us of a 9-year-old boy reportedly died from strangulation while attempting a TikTok challenge, according to his parents. Latarius Smith Jr., who was found by family members unresponsive with a belt around his neck, died in a hospital June 10th in Memphis after succumbing to injuries suffered during a strangulation challenge. His great-great-aunt, Barbara Williams, told a local news outlet, "It wasn't until later on that we found out that there was some type of video on TikTok, you know, letting kids know how to strangle yourself, but you got to get out of it. The challenge was to get out of it. But he's 9 years old. He's 9 years old," she said. "So how is he going to get out of it?" Washington Free Beacon reporting, the Biden administration walking back the U.S.'s historic recognition of Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights region along Israel's northern border. It's a significant blow to the Jewish state and one of the Trump administration's signature foreign policy decisions. The Trump administration declared the territory seized by Israel from Syria in 1967, later annexed by the country, to be wholly part of the Jewish state in 2019. Then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who I just heard the other morning speak, took a trip to the area in 2020 and reaffirmed that America formally abandoned a decades-long policy of considering the area occupied. Iran's hardline president-elect says he will not meet with Joe Biden. This coming to us from trackpersia.com. Iran's president-elect said Monday that he would not meet with President Joe Biden or negotiate over Tehran's ballistic missile program and its support of regional militias, sticking to a hardline position following his landslide victory in last week's election. Judiciary Chief Ibrahim Raisi also described himself as a defender of human rights when he was asked about his involvement in the 1988 mass execution of about 5,000 people. It marked the first time he's been put on the spot on live television over this dark moment in Iranian history at the end of the Iran-Iraq war. The U.S. is obliged to lift all oppressive sanctions against Iran, Raisi said at his first news conference. And guess what, folks? Iran says that the U.S. has agreed to remove 1,040 sanctions from the Trump era in nuclear talks. As part of Vienna, the nuclear talks that were in Vienna, Washington has declared and agreed to lift sanctions on Iran's oil and shipping sectors, as well as to remove several senior officials from its blacklist, including Iranian President Hassan Rouhani's chief of staff, saying that the chief of staff reported that officials who would have sanctions removed include several figures from Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei's inner circle. There was no announcement on the matter, though, from the U.S., but Iran touting the fact that the U.S. is removing 1,040 sanctions. By the way, Honduras just opened their embassy in Jerusalem, the fourth country to do so, the fourth country following the direction of President Donald Trump. Time is going quickly. I've got some more stories here, but this is very interesting. Foundation for Economic Election. Restaurants are now adding equity charges to customers' checks to fight oppression. This is coming from fee.org, located in southwest Minneapolis, Broder's Pasta Bar. On its website has a notice to customers notifying them of a new 15% benefits and equity charge that they've instituted. They justified the change first by explaining how many states have allowed reduced minimum wages for service staff in the form of a tip credit. Restaurant's second justification is that many tippers are racist and sexist, according to unsighted research. And so they're going to have this new equity charge taking place. A new children's book trying to normalize killing babies in abortion. LifeNews.com has the story. What's an abortion anyway? Begins a new children's book by abortion activist Carly Maines and an illustrator who goes by the name Emulsify. But it actually never really answers the question. Instead, this book intends for young children to indoctrinate their young minds with radical pro-abortion rhetoric that attempts to normalize the killing of unborn babies for any reason without limits. Some people have abortions because they can't take care of a new baby right now, the book states, above an illustration of a mother holding a young child. Others because their doctors say pregnancy could make them sick. It continues next to the image of a smiling doctor. No matter the reason, everybody should be able to make this decision for themselves, it states. The book has not been released yet, but Maines describes herself as a white, queer, Jewish abortion doula from New York. She proudly states that she has helped more than 2,000 abortions, helped with more than 2,000 abortions in the past 6 years. Our phone number here to Crosstalk today, 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, that's 800-733-9829. Renew America tells us that Democrats are now pushing to legalize LSD in California. Several months ago, the California State Senate approved a bill that would effectively legalize LSD and some other drugs there in their state. Some other psychedelics, as proposed by Democrat State Senator Scott Wiener of San Francisco and his fellow peers. That's Senate Bill 57 would actually create safe injection sites in the cities of Oakland, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. The bill still needs to pass the state's legislature and receive approval from the governor in order to become law in the state. Isn't that amazing, folks? Pushing to legalize LSD in California? Gavin Newsom has become his recall now becoming official. Over 1.7 million signatures against him have been verified. Let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with Al calling in from Milwaukee. Al, you're on the air.
Hi, I just have a comment about people or employers forcing their employees to get vaccinated in order to keep their jobs. If you go to Solari, S-O-L-A-R-I.com, there's a form that was printed out there that's there. It's like, I don't know, 4 or 5 pages. And you're required to, have your employer sign it, you sign it, have people witness it, and if there is any ill effects due to the vaccine, that they'll be held liable. And people have gotten out of having to get that jab when they've had this form signed and, presented to their employer. So that's just my comment.
Okay, thank you so much here, Al. Let's go from Al to Alice in Arkansas. Alice, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, recently it was read to me that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Oh, I could weep over America.
Yeah.
I'm 75 years old. And what you have said today, oh, may people make their calling and election sure. The Bible said that the Lord knoweth them that are his. What? There was a Sodom and Gomorrah, and only 8 people got off the ark. May God have mercy not only on America, but this whole world. My heart just aches.
Yeah, indeed. Thank you, Alice, for your call here today. And our hearts should ache. Our hearts should ache, even as we have seen the prophets of old cry out. Wasn't Jeremiah known as the weeping prophet, even as he saw the sin and the rebellion against God, and his plea to return, to repent, to come out from the backslidden state in which they were. And yet it was he, as that prophet, that called us out, that was put into a pit, left for dead. It was him that had criticism that was launched against him and physical attack against him as well. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more of your comments here in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Revelation 18, verse 23 says, "For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived." What's very fascinating is this is speaking about Babylon, a one-world global system, big government, big business, and spirituality. But it says that the world was deceived by sorcery. The word in the Greek Strong's Concordance for sorcery is pharmakia, from which we get the word pharmacy. Why would this have to fit with sorcery or witchcraft? Because witchcraft is the worship of nature. What is going on now with COVID? People are being deceived into taking this, and it's largely being pushed by some, as they've openly stated in some of their publications, it could decrease the population of the world. Sorcery or witchcraft or worship of nature and pharmakia combined, something we should think about.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, I feel like I owe you an apology. I've got a stack of stories that's another half of what we've been through already, but I want to give you time here on the program to share your thoughts as well on so many of these current issues. We're going next to Miami, Florida. Courtney, thanks for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
God bless all y'all. And the mother before me, she said just what things are right. We need to turn to God. But saints, we're in that word every day. But I want to say right fast, Isaiah 38, but the liberal devices loose things.
Courtney, we're getting lots of beeping on your phone there. I don't know if you're pressing against a number there.
Oh, I'm pressing.
Okay, go ahead and try it again.
But the liberal...
Yeah, we are getting completely cut out, and I apologize for that, Courtney. For that passage there, but thank you so much for your call. Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Okay, my comment is this. I think there's a major similarity between Jim Jones and Anthony Fauci. Jones persuaded his cult to induce Kool-Aid. The end game was obviously suicide. Fauci is using vaccines where ultimately... there's been a lot of death results involved by that, but the media doesn't want to admit to it.
Yeah.
That's my comment.
Thank you, Mark. And to Courtney, if you can try calling us back again and perhaps a better connection, we'll be able to hear what you have to say here for us. Let's see. Barry is next in Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes. All this that's going on, it's just pure reprobate insanity. You know, America is like the hijacked plane, and it's people are the passengers, and those who are at the control are our legislators and leaders who are driving this plane into the side of the mountain, and they think they're doing a good thing. It's just pure insanity. The only thing that stopped this thing is a true revival and prayer and fasting, waiting on God. And I don't see it happening in our churches. They act like it's not even going on.
Yeah, yeah. It's troubling. Thank you, Barry. And
sure.
Begins certainly with us, doesn't it? It begins with us. Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. That number one education official in America that you were playing that soundbite, and he was being questioned by that lady.
Yeah.
And he said to her, what would you do if you were confronted with someone who was non-binary? What she should have said was, that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. There's male and there's female. There's 2X chromosomes, female, and there's 1X and 1Y chromosome, male. And that's it. The only thing that differs from that are genetic mutations. And then he starts yammering. That's what she should have said. He starts yammering about not wanting to discriminate against these sex perverts. What he ought to do is actually follow the science, like the Democrats keep saying they want to follow the science. But all they ever do is talk about it. It's a contest to see how many times they can say the word science.
Yeah.
But science, it's not, because they're not following it. This
no.
is disgusting.
And many doctors of science and medical doctors, they are prohibiting their message from going forth. They are deplatforming them on so many different fronts. They don't want to follow the science.
No, and they don't want anybody to hear it either.
Yeah. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Courtney, we got you back here in Miami. Let's try it again.
God bless you. I hope you hear me clear. I just want to say this right fast. Parents, pray for one another. I'm a veteran. I hate to see what... putting in the Air Force thing. And I want to read one verse right fast. Isaiah 32:8. But the liberal devises liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Mm. This is our White House today. Liberal. The devil is behind all that mess. Parents, bring up your children in the way they should go, that they don't depart from the Lord. And pray for the sister Paula White, because she's out there trying to win souls for Christ, and now the devil is coming against her business. please pray for her. And she's strong in the Lord, yeah. Strong in the Lord. God bless all y'all. I'm sorry my phone was messed up sometimes. I'm in a bad area. And we're praying for you, Jim, and all the people at Crosstalk there. God bless you now.
Thank you, Courtney. And we do encourage you to pray for those who are proclaiming the Word of God and those that are giving a false gospel, that that they would be exposed for their false teachings as well. And I so appreciate the many pastors who are so faithful in their pulpit, proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. We have too many preaching today. Yea, hath God said, questioning what God says in His Word. Praise God for pastors who are proclaiming God's Word. Marie from Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, everybody. It's Marie, and I just wanted to thank you guys for the news weekly update. Appreciate that. And a couple of things I thought of about the upcoming Mark of the Beast that's talked about in the Bible. Really, you might say that we're pretty much there now. It is not the mark. However, we've already have a couple of marks, right? The mask. We couldn't buy or sell unless we were wearing the mask. So that's one. The other thing now, of course, is coming up the vaccine. Now, I had COVID, so I feel like I've been vaccinated by the real thing. And the other thing, the privileges that they're offering to people to take the vaccine, all these are just carrots. And the other thing I wanted to comment about was the Wuhan Peace Prize. The nomination of them for the Nobel Peace Prize is, this just really just tells us that the governments and those people in currently are in authority are condoning and are encouraging biological warfare for mass human destruction. Mm. So, in my opinion, we're there. Anyway, thank you very much, and God bless everybody, and let's just keep praying.
Thank you, Marie, for that. And as Dr. Jimmy DeYoung were on with us today, he would say this, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Let's go to Robin in Monticello, Kentucky. Our final call today, you're on the air.
Yes. This is Robin. How you doing?
Fine. We have 30 seconds left. Go ahead.
Okay. This gay movement, I can't understand why it didn't. History did not really teach us anything, any lessons about health problems. In 1980s and the 90s, we had HIV and AIDS in the country, and it killed a lot of people. Did we forget about it? It was wrong.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robin. You're right. And we've forgotten history, too, as it goes back to the time of Sodom and Gomorrah as well. Scripture speaks to that very issue, and we need to certainly take heed to what God has said in His Word. Folks, I trust that you will know the Word, that you will live the Word, that you will proclaim the Word of God. We thank you for joining us today and all this week here on Crosstalk. We've got some great guests and topics coming up this coming week, and I trust you'll keep our team in your prayers as well. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.